So we are we're toward the end of Shar Ha'ahava. I was just going to start this summer with Shar Ha'sina, but I thought that would be such like a negative way to start. You know? Yeah. So let's start with some love. So we have like the last two pages here of Shar Ha'ahava. We probably all have different versions. The paragraph, at least that I have, starts with V'ketzad hi Ha'ahava Haru'uya. Toward the end of Shar Ha'ahava. So essentially, now he's wrapping up the Shar Ha'ahava and he's telling us the a little bit of background for those who have never learned Orach HaTzaddikim before. The Orach HaTzaddikim is a classic anonymous Musar Sefer, but it was written. The reason I like it very much is that it is written with in a very organized style, meaning it's chapter by chapter goes through midah by midah. It tells you, you know, there's a midah, there's a whole chapter about anivus, and a chapter about gaiva, and a chapter about ava, and a chapter about azus, and a chapter. So you could really work on one midah at a time. The basic format is not just to go midah by midah, but to show us that there's no such thing as a good midah or a bad midah. That there are midos that can be, that every midah can be used well and it can be used poorly. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the ability to feel a sense of love, let's say, and we're supposed to figure out when it's appropriate to use love and when it's inappropriate to use love. God gave us a sense of gaiva, a sense of pride. We're supposed to know when it's appropriate to use that sense of pride and when it's inappropriate to use that sense of pride. And that's what this book is here to guide us toward, to try to figure out what the right way to feel love is, the right way to feel gaiva, the right way to feel anivus. So that's what we're doing over here. So he's wrapping up the Shar Ha'ahava by telling us V'ketzad hi Ha'ahava Haru'uya. What is the most appropriate type of Ahava? Hu sheyoav es Hashem Ahava Gedola Yisera Az Ma'od Ad Shetei Nafshu Kshura Ba'avas Hashem Yisparach V'nimtza Shoga Ba'tamid Kilu Chole Choli Ha'ahava. That a person should have this overwhelming, strong yearning and love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the point where you're constantly thinking about him as if you are sick with love for Hashem. She'ein daito pnuya me'avas osi isha v'yishoga batamid. Similar to the way people fall in love, a man would fall in love with a woman. Then a man falls in love with a woman, and when the person's in love, all he can do is think about that woman. No matter what he's doing, he can be doing anything, and his mind is on that woman. So this obviously is a formulation that the Rambam uses, and he does take a lot from the Rambam in Orach HaTzaddikim in general, but this is a formulation of the Rambam that a person should have a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we use the love of what a person has for a woman as a mashal for the love that one could have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is very interesting that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world that way. He built us in such a way that we should have a mashal with which we can easily understand, or more easily understand, how we're supposed to feel about Hashem. Meaning, if God just wanted us to reproduce, he could have had other ways for us to do it, right? He could have made us all loners who live alone and we just, you know, push a button in our head or something and a baby comes out or something, right? I don't know. He could have had something, plant seeds in the ground or something. He could have had other ways for us to reproduce. It didn't have to dafka be through this incredibly loving relationship with a man and a woman, with commitment and with sacrifice and with everything that's involved in making a marriage work. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give us a relationship that serves as a mashal for understanding the kind of love we're supposed to have for Hashem. Now, obviously, it therefore stands to reason that if a person never has that relationship, he never has that relationship with a woman, he never has that relationship of loving and sacrifice and caring and constantly thinking, well then, by definition, he's going to have a much harder time coming to a love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because if Hashem gave us this as the mashal, we really need to explore that mashal in order to be able to understand the nimshal, in order to be able to come to a true love of Hashem. So it works both ways. So obviously the goal may be this great love for Hashem, but we really need to maximize that relationship with a woman in order to be able to have that high level of love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it has to be genuine, it has to be sincere. Bein b'shifto, bein b'kuma. And the guy is thinking about the woman, whether no matter what he's doing, he's sitting, he's going. Bein b'shashu ochel v'shosei, he's eating and drinking, whatever he's doing. Yasser mizeh tia avas Hashem Baruch Hu b'lev ha'avav. Even more than that is the way a person is supposed to love Hashem. Shogim batamid. We should constantly be contemplating and thinking about Hashem. It's amazing, you know, that there are many religious Jews, people who are ostensibly shomrei Torah u'mitzvos, who recite mea brachos b'chol yom, and don't think about Hashem all day long. I do, out of habit, I do what I do, because, you know, I get up and I put on my tefillin, and I put on my tzitzis, and I learn Hashem's Torah, but we don't think about Hashem. It's very important. It's hugely important. We're supposed to, that's what it's all about. It's all about creating a sense of Avas Hashem. So it's, you know, when people sometimes ask for guidance in how to improve kavana in tefillah, which obviously is critical, if you can have any meaningful relationship with Hashem, involves significant tefillah. There's no one that you know that has a real relationship with Hashem that just happens to not be a good davener. If they happen to not be a good davener, they may enjoy learning, but they have no real relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A real relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to come through Torah and tefillah, but tefillah is a critical element of that. But one of the best ways to improve tefillah, I've found at least, is it's very hard to say, okay, I'm going to have kavana with every single word and every single tefillah for the rest of my life. You're not. No one is. It's very, very difficult to do that. But one very critical way is, or Eitzah, is to just say, you know what, every time I say Hashem's name in every bracha and Shemona Esrei, I'm just going to think about Hashem when I say His name, which is Allah. You're supposed to be thinking about Hayahavav Yiyah. You're supposed to be thinking about Hashem's name. Rabbi Hanoch Teller comes to my shul sometimes whenever he's in America. He likes to come to the Daf Yomi Shir because he's a big tzaddik, so he likes to, you know, to come to Shiurim wherever he goes. So he comes to my shul sometimes, and he's in Avelis this year. So he davens for the Amud when he comes, and he goes really slow. And he says, I'm trying. I can't think of Hayahovaviyah and all the kavanas that I'm supposed to be having when I'm thinking of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. I can't think of it fast enough. My mind doesn't work fast enough to think about those things. I'm like, well, everyone here is a genius because they're able to think about it super fast. So,
isn't it too far reaching to say that?
No, having difficulty with tefillah is different than a person not experiencing tefillah. Meaning, a person who doesn't experience tefillah, who goes through and just, you know, and never connects to Hashem, that's, Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva, and I think it's 100% true, that if a person doesn't daven, then he doesn't have emunah. Because if you don't daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then what does it mean to believe in God if you're not going to call out to Him? Tefillah can come in different forms. Maybe people have problems with formulaic tefillah or whatever, but you have to converse with the Ribbono Shel. If you're not conversing with the Ribbono Shel, that's not our religion.
Descriptions of Talmud Torah found in the Rambam, those other places. Right?
Oh, those are also critical.
Since those are mutually dependent with tefillah, why can't they be mutually exclusive? One can enhance the other, but you can have a real connection with the Ribbono Shel outside of just tefillah.
If you're connecting your Torah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu also, Torah Lishma doesn't mean that you're thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu during your Torah, but at the end of, you know, when you close the Gemara and you say, wow, Torah is Hashem, that was what I'm saying is to encounter the Ribbono Shel, that you have to actually engage the Ribbono Shel.
That's also outside of tefillah.
Yeah, in Ochinami. I mean, to engage the Ribbono Shel. That a person actually engage Hashem. Hashem is part of our lives, and it's the intellectual side of Talmud Torah, which is a very important intellectual endeavor, and it is intellectual. A person can't sit there just learning Pirkei Avos all day because that's what talks to him, and not come to Yediyas HaTorah. That's not doing the job either. One of my Rebbe, Rav Silver, used to always say that, you know, if a person wants to go to medical school, he's going to make sure that he studies his sciences really well to the point that he knows it. So we're supposed to study Torah the same way, to the point that we know it, that we have a real Yediyas HaTorah. But at the same time, we also have to engage HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a consistent basis. And if we're not engaging HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a consistent basis, we're not practicing our religion. Our religion involves in engaging HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a consistent basis. So the way to do it is, he's saying, so consistently that we're always thinking about Hashem, not just when we're davening, but we're always thinking about Hashem. K'mo she'tzivanu b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshcha v'usha shlomo amar derech mashal ki cholos ava ani v'chol shir shirim mashal l'linyin zeh. You look at shir shirim and you think, wow, how inappropriate, you know what I? But shir shirim is the description of that mashal. It's the mashal that's supposed to be a mashal for the love of the Ribbono. It's also important to realize that part of the reason that it's so important to constantly be thinking about Hashem is because we also have a requirement to know Hashem. We have a requirement to come to Yediyas Hashem. That's part of the mitzvah of Emunah. The Rishonim discuss what exactly the mitzvah of A is Emunah a mitzvah. That's a discussion in the Rishonim. Or do you say it's too basic for it to be a mitzvah? If you don't believe in God, there's no such thing as a mitzvah. A mitzvah means that there is a commander. If there's no commander, there's no commands. Right? Because the word mitzvah, the way people use it colloquially, they use it as if like it's a good deed. That's not what a mitzvah means. A mitzvah means a command, not a good deed. So if there is a machlokes rishonim whether emunah is a mitzvah. But if it is a mitzvah, part of the mitzvah is to know what you're believing in, to have a yediyas Hashem. The only way, or the way one can best know Hashem is when one is constantly thinking of Hashem, because the way one can best know anything is to constantly be thinking about it. If, let's say, you have to give a shiur one day, anyone here ever give like chaburas in yeshiva or whatever? One day you will, or if you haven't yet, when you have that topic that you have to prepare, and you know your rebbe says, you know, like in Shalavim next year, your rebbe's going to say you're going to zug. That's what they call it. You give a zug after shiur, right? So for 2 weeks in advance, you're thinking about that topic. You're working it and reworking it in your mind 50 times over, and it turns out you end up knowing that topic 10 times better than you know all the Torah that your rebbe taught you that year. Why? Because the Torah that your rebbe taught you that year went in one ear out the other, left off out the other. You studied, you took down, you wrote down your notes. You maybe even chazered afterwards. But that was it. You were engaged when you were listening to it. You were engaged when you chazered it. But the thing that you're going to have to say, you're thinking about it when you're eating. You're thinking about it when you're going to sleep. You're thinking about, how do I say it more clearly? Did I get this right? Do I have every detail? In order to really know something well, you have to constantly be thinking about it. It's not enough to the time that you're actively engaged in it to really know it well. You have to constantly be thinking about it. That's what really separates massive Talmidei Chachamim from, you know, Yodei Sefer, from people who just know how to learn. It's people who know how to learn are engaged when they're learning. They're engaged in Torah when they're learning. The biggest Talmidei Chachamim are the ones that are constantly thinking about something and learning. You know, where you stop on the street, what was the thought? What were you just, you know, what sugya are you holding in? And there's something there that they're constantly thinking about. So that's the, it works with Yediyas Hashem as well. If a person is constantly thinking about the Ribbono Shel, one will come to a greater Yediyah of the Ribbono Shel. That's not what the Orach HaTzaddikim is saying, I'm just making a ha'ara. He says the opposite, actually. He writes on the flip side, Davar Yadua Ubarur, Shein Avas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Niksheres Belibo Shel Adam, Ad Sheyishke Batamid Karo'i, V'yazov Kol Masha Ba'olam Chutz Mimena. That Avas HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot come. One cannot truly love until you ignore everything else and focus entirely on Hashem. K'mo Shetziva V'amar, B'chol Levavcha, V'chol Nafshecha. Ve'eino Oiv HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ela B'das, Sheyeda Ehu. Meaning, whereas I was saying before, Ava leads to Yediyah, the Ava that you're constantly thinking about and leads you to a greater knowledge of Hashem, he's saying Yediyah leads to Ava, because you have to know what it is you are loving. You only truly love, you meet a girl, first date. Ah, I'm in love, I'm marrying her. You're in love? You sure? You sure that's love? No, you may have been impressed. You may be, there may be a lot of things that go through your mind or that, you know. But love? No, love only happens when you have an actual knowledge of that which you're loving. So the more you know in a human relationship, the more you know the person, the more you're able to love them because you know them better. Same is true with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Val pi hadea tia ahava. Based on your knowledge, that will be your love. Im ma'at, ma'at. If you only know them a little bit, you can't love them all that much. You can only love a little bit. There's only a little bit to love. Vim harbe, harbe. If you know them a lot, now you can love a lot. That's why love is something that grows over the course of a lifetime. It changes in the way it expresses itself sometimes. You know, you have a chasana and a kala, so people sometimes view it because of the way it expresses itself outwardly. It's such an exhilarating experience for a person to fall in love that, you know, they're all googly eyes and they're all, you know, excited and it's energizing and there's a wedding to plan and there's this and that. So people think, and then it's all downhill. That's what, like, the old married guys tell you. That's not true. That's not true. That's it's shouldn't be true. It should be all uphill, that it builds over time, because you know the person better when you actually live in the same house and same room with the person for years and years and years. You get to know them better. And when you know them better, then you're capable of more love. We'll probably see in the Shara Sinai, you're capable of more hate also, but you're capable of a lot more love when you have a greater yidia. Lefichach tzarech adam liyachir atzmo lahavin lahaskil b'chachmos utfunos hamadios lo'os kono. Very interesting, he says, and therefore one should engage in the study of anything that helps you know Hashem. Based on what you're capable of understanding. So if appreciating the Bria is going to help you understand Hashem, you appreciate the way the human body works, so you study anatomy and you're strong in your study of anatomy, and that will help you appreciate the amazing computer, let's say, that our Kodesh Baruch Hu put in each of our heads. You know, the knowledge, our knowledge in the 21st century of how the human brain works. In the last 50 years, in the last 30 years, the knowledge of the brain has expanded drastically, and yet we're not even close to understanding the complexity of the human brain. So that's just one example. But whatever one studies that Hashem made and that Hashem put there, whatever one appreciates, the Chachma Sabore, one can come to a greater sense of love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But certainly with the knowledge of Torah, I mean, the depth of Torah and the breadth of Torah is such that one can come to a much greater knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the study of his Torah. Let's do a little bit further.
Crib from the Rambam as well.
No, what? Both of these parts, studying Torah and science.
Right. But
that's what the Rambam says. You have to go see the wonders of the world. Go see, you know, go to the Grand Canyon. Rabbi Friend likes to say, once said in a Tshuva Drasha, that he noticed that when people go to the Grand Canyon, they whisper. Why are they whispering? It's not the Beis Medrash. Well, why are they whispering at the Grand Canyon? What are they whispering about at the Grand Canyon? He said, because you feel God. So you're like ashamed. You feel so small. Because it's so massive, you just feel the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's like intuitive, like, oh my gosh. So the people, that's the natural, and that's a good feeling. A person's supposed to have that. I will tell you, if you do plan a trip to the Grand Canyon, you see it, and then you saw it. You know, like, there's not like that much to do, unless you're very into hiking in 120-degree weather. So then, gesundheit, have fun.
But to what extent isn't there a Mishnah that says that if you're like, you're learning and you see like a nice tree and you stop to like
right.
Look at it.
So I think the Mepharshim and the Mishnah say that if you have to stop, if the Mepharshim say you shouldn't stop the learning, to say after the learning you should say mana yun za. But when a person is learning, they should be focused. I mean, that's what this is. You have to put your entire energy and your entire focus into what you're doing. That's also an important thing. A lot of times when we're engaged, even when we engage HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether it be in Torah or Tefillah, we do it half-heartedly. We don't really maximize our brain capacity, you know, our brain power. I'm learning something, so I'm reading it, and I get what it's saying. But are we really focused? Is there a sense of amelus, of really, you know, trying to get to the depth of something? There is something about, you know, not just something about, there's a great, great value in putting our entire brain into something, and really breaking our heads over something. That's something that you know, it's a frustrating experience, but it's an exhilarating experience. That at the end of that frustration, when you realize I just put my whole head into this, and I thought I got it, and then I, you know, two steps forward, one step back, and I really, really maximized everything I've got. It's a different kind of learning than like, oh, when do I get to make the scene? You know, kind of learning. And no, I'm all for covering ground. I do believe that it's important to cover ground, but the level of focus has to be should be very, very strong. And that's what Chaim Lajner writes, that there's Bittul Torah Bekamus and there's Bittul Torah Be'echus. That there's Bittul Torah in terms of how much time you spend learning and not learning, but that even when you're learning, sometimes you're being Mevatel Torah. Because, you know, you could be learning through a sugya really well, but you're sitting in your bed reading some English translation of whatever, of, you know, something easy, something light. So I'd say you're learning, you know, it's better than not learning, but it's also a bittul Torah in a certain sense. So that's something worth emphasizing as well. Okay, I guess tomorrow we'll pick up with Akela Nichbat.